Now, let's talk hardball. This is River City Hardball, presented by D-Bat Jacksonville. Here's your host, Andrew Gibson.
Committed to the baseball here in the Jacksonville area. We've got a bunch of special guests here this morning. D-Bat owner and operator Zach Phillips is with us. He owns D-Bat Jacks, and he also operates here at D-Bat Green Cove. We are at the beautiful, brand-new D-Bat Green Cove this morning. Zach, thanks for having us out. This place is awesome.
Yeah, I appreciate you coming out. Obviously, we just saw you last month at Jacksonville, so cool to have you here at Green Cove.
Absolutely, and we've got a couple special guests that we'll get to in just a few moments. The head coach of the Clay Blue Devils is Josh Persinger, and he's brought with him Easton McMahon, who's a Jacksonville University commit 2025 guy. We'll get to them in just a few moments. But, Zach, I want to lead off here today and tell people about D-Bat Green Cove. You guys have been open for about 2 weeks. You opened on the 6th of this month. Tell people about D-Bat Green Cove.
Yeah, so like you said, we opened on the 6th. It's been a great first 2 weeks. Kind of helped that Clay County was in spring break, leading right into our opening. So we were – floodgates were open that first week. But, yeah, I mean, we opened with – we had 260 pre-sold memberships. I believe we're past the 350 mark now. So, again, the support's been great. You know, the Clay County in general, Green Cove, Fleming Island, Middleburg. We actually have an event tonight, Middleburg Athletic Association's coming in for a couple hours just for the kids to check it out, eat some food, hit some baseballs and softballs. Instruction has been great. We've blown up with instruction. We got about six people on staff. They're rocking and rolling every single night. We got Brittany and Brooke Michael, former Ridgeview players, battery mates, actually. Brittany was the ace of the staff. Brooke was the catcher. It's been great.
We've got a loaded lineup here today. We've got Easton McMahon. We've got Josh Persinger from the Clay Blue Devils joining us on set right now. Coach, appreciate you jumping over. You were helping me out this morning. I was so excited to get here this morning. I probably woke up at 5 o'clock. I fed my dogs. I'm like, I can't wait to get going here and get to D-Bat Green Cove and talk to you guys. Thanks for coming out.
Yeah, I appreciate it.
Hey, tell us about your season. Tell us about how Clay's doing so far this year.
Yep, so far so good. We are 7-4. There's a suspended game we had up in Georgia, 6-0 in the first inning. Don't know if we're going to be able to make that one back. But, you know, kind of just what we like to do, kind of see some difficult arms early. And I tell these guys, everyone asks me all throughout, how are you guys? So we got all the pieces. I'll know about 10 or 12 games where we're at. You know, I want to see where they're at and how they handle adversity, and they've handled it great. We've lost some 2-1 games to some tough talent, and they've handled it. It's just next pitch, you know, no arguing, none of that stuff. So they're ready.
Easton McMahon joins us as well. He's a pitcher and a shortstop for the Clay Blue Devils. He's a 2025 commit to Jacksonville University. Our friend Chris Hayes over there. Easton, thanks for coming up, man. How are you?
Good. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely, man. Tell me about your season. Tell me about how the year's going for you.
It's been going good. Just trying to stay controlled, not let anything get in my head. A lot of people like to talk. Just trying to stay controlled and keep all of our young kids. We got a pretty young team this year. Trying to keep them under control as well, especially my little brother.
So you had the other night, Coach P was telling me about the night that you had against Trinity Christian on
yes,
the mound,
sir.
I believe. Tell me about that performance.
Yes, sir. I really just try to stay within myself, let my stuff work, not get overwhelmed with the game and all the people there. Just try to stay under control on the mound.
And that was a 2-1 loss, but Trinity's probably the best team in the area, would you say, right now?
Top three for sure.
Yeah. What about that game? Obviously, Trinity's very talented. They're loaded top to bottom. That was a 2-1 game back a couple days ago on the 21st. Tell me about how that game went against maybe the best team in the area.
Yeah, so kind of we alluded to, we saw the number one team in 2A on a Friday. Then we saw the number one team in 4A the following Thursday. And then we come back on Thursday and see the number one team in 3A. So definitely putting these guys through, as we call it, the gauntlet. You know, we talked a lot about doing the little things.
Yep.
Unfortunately, you know, we've had some other games where when you get 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 hits, those little things aren't quite as big of a deal. But when you're seeing, I think Wheeler was up to 93 in the first, you know, great pitcher, Florida commit. When you're seeing a lineup that talented, those little things are a big deal. There was a time we didn't get a bunt down. But, again, as we all say, it's kind of the dress rehearsal. So lots of things that we can take away from that, but super proud. You know, we kind of get on our offense. Every time our guys go out there and throw, five hits, give up one or two runs against that, we've got to find ways to win that game. And they're always receptive to that. What I like about this team, I'll use Easton as an example. When my guy is sprinting routine fly ball to right field and it drops and he's standing on second base, like,
yeah,
we're doing our job. And same thing, as soon as, you know, Easton as a freshman, why didn't you do this? Why didn't you do that? Easton after that game, we got to get the bunt down. You know, so it's to see the guy who can hit the doubles and that, and, you know, all of the, you know, kind of our core group, hey, we've got to do this, and it's kind of regurgitating the things that we say, then I feel like we're in a good spot.
Easton, you're a junior, correct?
Yes, sir.
Tell me about your game at shortstop. Tell us about yourself on the mound.
Yes, sir. I just try to really stay under control on the mound. I know all my stuff's there. I just can't get in my head. Just try to stay downhill, let all my stuff work for me. At shortstop, really, everyone says I'm a PO, but I think I can swing it pretty good. And I really just stay calm at short, stay smooth, let my feet work.
How would you evaluate that assessment? Is he a PO, or do you think he's playing both ways? He's playing both ways for you, though.
Yeah, I mean, he's my three-hole or two-hole.
That tells you what you think.
Our lineup's a little not by the book, but he's in my two-hole. I have all my top guys there. Shortstop, anytime he's pitching, we like him at shortstop as well.
Easton, I think you had a pretty good night at the plate the other night against Ridgeview. Did you have a good night there? Tell me about it.
Yes, sir. There was a lot of talking leading up to that game.
Oh.
They all were talking about me. I just stayed under control again. Didn't try to do too much, hit the long ball. Just kind of tried to stay up the middle of that game. And then I went 3-for-3, so it all worked out.
Tell me about him as a pitcher. He just described himself a little bit. How would you, as the head coach, describe Easton McMahon?
Yeah, I mean, even as a sophomore, I think as a freshman, one of our issues was control. He was with us that summer with the prime, as we kind of alluded to earlier. And even that summer, I look back at some of the stats, there was some walks, you know. So coming in, we knew he had the stuff. And then last year, he kind of emerged as, I don't even know that we've had an ace. We've had, you know, two or three ones the last several years, so really stepped up. I think he was 8-1 last year. This year, his stats are a little different. But again, he's putting up the same numbers. We're just not scoring the runs in some of those games. Anytime he's on the mound, I feel like we got a chance to win early on. Kind of sit down with him. Hey, what are the games that you want to throw? What are the games? And, you know, there was a game that he really wanted, and I said, you got to throw game one. We got to start the game. We got to start the year 1-0. Keystone's really good, and yeah. Keystone doesn't get a whole lot of credit. I'll be glad to talk. Keystone is good. I think they're 10-1 right now. You know, they're way out there in the corner of Clay County. People don't know about them a whole lot, but I can tell you there's 10 teams that know who they are now. So I felt like he gave us our best chance that day, and we were lucky enough to come out with a victory, but they haven't lost since.
Clay head coach Josh Persinger, Easton McMahon, a junior shortstop pitcher who's on his way to Jacksonville University 2025. Easton, tell me about your commitment to JU. What made JU the choice for you?
Yes, sir. I committed to JU when I was a sophomore, leading up to my sophomore year. I went on a camp. Really loved Coach Hayes. Always, like, been there for me since. We've been close ever since then. And when I went on the camp, I kind of got offered. I knew I was going to get an offer, like, the day of, because they were talking about it. They said they just didn't want to rush me into it and let me, like, actually pick what I want to do. But then 3 days later, they offered me a pretty high amount as a two-way, and I took it.
That's awesome. And I've spoken to guys that are from the Jacksonville area that play at JU. There's something about being able to be home and play at a hometown university. Speak about that. That's pretty cool.
Yes, sir. I wanted to stay close to home. I wasn't looking to go out of state. I wanted to stay right here. So when I got that, and it's only about 45-minute drive from my house, I wanted my parents to be able to come and watch me play all the time.
Well, I mean, there's nothing wrong with that, staying home. And look at the baseball that we have in the Jacksonville area. We're talking to a head coach and a player right now that's staying locally to play college baseball, which is outstanding. And you're a baseball family. Your brother's going to Florida. You're going to JU. I mean, how competitive are you two guys?
Yes, sir. We're always butting heads with each other. I try to make them better every day. Sometimes we fight, but I think it just makes us 20 times better.
Hey, tell me about your next game coming up, and we'll wrap things up here.
Yep, so we got Santa Fe. They're not in our district or region anymore, but they were. I think up until this point, we averaged 10 innings per game. We had a 14-inning game, a couple 9-inning games. It's been battles, you know, and I think we played them 2 years ago in a huge game and then had to play them in the region. We went up early and, never save a pitcher for tomorrow, and I got, got a little confident and, made some moves, and I think the baseball gods, so to speak, take care of you sometimes. So we ended up in a 14-inning game, and there was some crazy plays there. Play at the plate, Max Williams, I think you've heard of him.
Yes, I have.
He's doing pretty good now. Guns a guy out the plate. It was awesome, so just I try to tell these guys there's a lot of history. As someone who's been around that program for a while, they probably get tired of it. I'm like, oh, here comes the Clay High yearbook out again. And, I remember back in 19,
yeah.
But it's cool. You're around it long enough, you have a story about everything.
Clay's got some studs. Max was at Alabama, now he's at Florida State. Dane Dunning just won a World Series with the Rangers. Hopefully we'll try to get him on pretty soon. But going back to your year this year, your team that you have in 2024, you mentioned that you play a tough schedule. You guys are 7-4. The next six games, let me tell you, with the Clay baseball next six games, you mentioned Santa Fe, Bishop Kenny, who's always good, Tocoi Creek, who's had a tremendous year.
Phil does a great job.
Fleming Island's having a good year. You got Yulee, who's got, D1 commits everywhere. First Coast has got Hunter Carnes, who's going to FSU. It doesn't get any, easier, does it?
No, and then I think Creekside's right there. I'm one in my career against Chris. He loves to remind me that I did get him last year. So I think Easton got that win. He knew. I said, appreciate it, buddy. But, yeah, that's battle-tested. To me, the season's about, A, making the playoffs. We try to build a schedule around there to make sure we're in the top eight. And then finding a way to win five games. Three regional games, two state games, you get your ring. So there's a lot more to it, building young men. But from the baseball standpoint, that's the bar. That's the goal.
Final thing, Easton, tell me about some of your teammates, some guys that we should look out for at Clay, and tell me how much fun it is to play baseball at Clay.
Yes, sir. It's really fun because you really never know what you're going to get. We always come out and try to do the right thing. I think a guy you should really be on the lookout for is Cole Carnell.
Why is that? Tell me about him.
Every day he's trying to get better. It's the guy I want at the plate no matter what. Never really say that above. I never really put anyone above myself, but if there's anybody that I want to put in that situation, it's definitely Cole Carnell, and nothing's ever going to get to him.
Where does he play on the field? Tell me a little bit more about Cole.
He's a center fielder. He's got a pretty good arm, but mostly I would just watch out for his bat because he'll be the one that comes out. Like, he's uncommitted, but by his senior year, everybody will know him.
Awesome. Good stuff. Josh Persinger, the head coach of Clay. They're 7-4. Their next game coming up against Santa Fe, that will be this week. It'll be on the 26th at 7 o'clock. It's a home game for Clay. So tell everybody to come on out and watch you guys against Santa Fe.
I appreciate it.
All right, Coach Josh Persinger from Clay, Easton McMahon, a 2025 Jacksonville University commit. He's a junior, a pitcher, and a shortstop for the Blue Devils. Guys, thanks so much for coming out today.
Sir, thank you for having
me. We appreciate it. Thank you.
Absolutely. We'll take
Zach,
a time out.
Thanks for having us.
Absolutely, yeah, absolutely,
guys.
Zach. So when we come back, we're going to have the head coach of the St. John's Country Day Spartans, Tom Lucas. He's got a player that he's bringing along as well. We'll tell you more about them in just a moment. We're going to take a time out. We'll be right back from DBAT Green Cove in just a moment. We welcome you back here to DBAT Green Cove. It's a beautiful brand new facility, openly open for about 2 weeks. Zach Phillips, owner operator of DBAT Jacks and DBAT Green Cove, here with us alongside the head coach of St. John's Country Day, Tom Lucas, joins us this morning. Coach, how are you?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me, Gibby.
Absolutely. You guys are one of the most stacked teams in the area, as always. You got a really good team. We'll tell people about that in just a moment. Zach, I want to go back to you for just a second. People are filing in. This place is getting jumping here on a Sunday morning.
Yeah, again, man, for only being open a couple weeks, again, the community support's been great. We're glad to see all these guys in here getting their work in. That's what we come here for. We want to be that place where people can come in and get that extra work, get lessons. We have great instructors here. Just to my left, we got, Jamie Edwards. She was DBAT National Softball Instructor of the Year last year of all the DBAT. That's probably some 700, 800 instructors. You know, we got Willie Carter, former Atlanta Brave, top 50 prospect.
Yeah, that's right.
We got Ruben right over here. Maybe if Ruben hears us, he'll give us a wave.
He can hear us. We're loud and clear in here.
Yeah. Ruben, I believe, 5-6 year pro ball guy. He kind of claims he could throw it really hard, but didn't really know where it was going to go. But, yeah, man, like I said, it's been great. Got the pitching machines, got the pro shop. You know, we're with Jacob Ivanich again with Optimize, yeah. So we got the weight room and everything. So, yeah, man, one-stop shop.
Tom Lucas, the head coach of St. John's Country Day, is with us as well. Coach, tell me about how your season's gone. You guys are a very good team as always.
Yeah, I mean, so we've gotten off. I think we're 9-2 right now. Started out kind of like everybody else. The pitching was kind of ahead of the hitting. We're in some very tight ball games against some really good teams. You know, we went up to Georgia, played Thomasville, which they were in the Final Four. We played NFC, which is like a big regional rival for us. That was a one-run game. Then, you know, we played Buchholz twice. That's another. They were Elite Eight, you know, and another team that you would kind of, you know, think that's biding for a Final Four. We played them in extra innings, and we played them this past week. We went down to IMG Academy.
I saw that.
Which that's always a lot of fun. We played against their top team. But hung tough with them, you know, 3-0 game, hung tough with them. Then came back, lost to Oak Leaf, had the lead going into the seventh, 2-run lead, and then a closer who hadn't given up a save in 2 years.
Wow.
Just has a bad night, so we lose that game. So we lost 2 in a row, and you got Buchholz coming back the next night. So that was a test for us. We were able to get Buchholz for the second time, sweep them on the season. So, you know, we're just like everybody else. You know, it depends on what team shows up, what given night.
Coach, you've had some really good teams over the years. This team's only getting started. It's not fair to ask you how they compare to the other ones because those teams, a lot of them made it to the state championship, certainly made it to the Final Four. But how do you feel about the development of this 2024 team?
They're coming along. I mean, we're not where we need to be, which you shouldn't be, you know, when you're in March. We want to peak in May. But lineup-wise, what we think is going to be our strength, it's starting to get there. You know, I'd put our, you know, top 6-7 hitters up against most teams.
Yep.
We've just had a few guys start off a little bit slow, but then we've had some other guys that have picked us up. So that's been really good. Pitching staff, we're a little bit hurt right now. We're a little banged up. Our number one arm in Skylar Sanford's only thrown 2 innings on the season. So when you're missing a Florida commit who's only thrown 2 innings, that's a tough, you know, for anybody. But the other guys have really stepped up, and our senior Jack Ensel has been dominant on the mound, a commit going to Barry, and then Austin Stratman, which is a left-handed junior committed to UNF, has also stepped up and been really big for us.
Skyler, is he progressing well? Tell us about him.
Yeah, progressing well. Just one of those things when you got a big-time arm like that that you've got to be ultra careful with.
Yeah.
It's not one of those kind of guys you can, you know, say, let's pitch through something.
Oh, yeah.
And so on the ramping up process, he's had some, you know, a little bit of tricep strain. So it's one of those that we through PT and tossing, it still was, you know, kind of flared up. So it was, they looked at it. Nothing's tore, but let's do a complete shutdown. So he's supposed to start throwing here in another week, but then that'll be a build-up process. But, you know, we've looked at it as a positive. You know, there's not a lot of teams that could add a 6'6" Florida commit right before the playoffs start, and so that's what we're hoping is that we get him maybe, you know, 2 or 3 weeks before the playoffs start.
Well, you just mentioned adding a Florida commit. We just added a Florida commit to our broadcast here. Colt Myers joins us. His dad, of course, Brett Myers, a big-time big leaguer for many years, a World Series champion. Colt, thanks for jumping on, man. How are you?
Good, hanging in there. Ready to get after it the rest of the year.
Absolutely. You got your Florida shirt on. I love to see that. We were just talking with Coach Lucas about how the season's gone for you guys. From your perspective, Colt, how do you feel like the season's going for the Spartans?
It's going good. We got a really talented group of guys who just want to compete and win. Doesn't even matter who we're playing. We just want to go out there and compete the best of our abilities and just beat ourselves every day.
Colt, tell me about yourself on the mound. You play in the infield, I know, as well, but your dad was a pitcher. Looks like you're going to be a pitcher as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so on the mound, I haven't really been throwing much lately, just trying to get back into the things because I had a little forearm issue, but just starting to get back up there, get winded up again.
Coach, tell me about Colt from your perspective as a coach to a player. Tell people about Colt Myers.
Yeah, so, I mean, he's a true hitter. I mean, I would say, you know, projection-wise, he doesn't like to hear, you know, about his dad and pitching and stuff like that. He's his own guy.
Right.
And I don't know how well his dad could hit, but Colt can swing it. I mean, when he shows up at the yard, he's looking to do one thing, and that's, you know, hit the ball a long way. When we got him, you know, getting him, you know, a lot of defensive reps and, you know, play shortstop. And in high school, I told him I don't need him to be perfect. You know, he can make one error a game and we're still going to win those games. We just got to stop from making two and three. And he's bought in on that, not tried to make, you know, the all world plays, just making the routine plays look routine. I think he got off to a little bit of a slow start for him at the plate, but I still think he's hitting like 350 or 380. So, you know, it's slow for him is still pretty good for most. And, you know, he's got to come to the park knowing that he's just not going to see many fastballs. You know, and it can be frustrating at a young age when they're constantly – the other night he had a 3-2 curveball, 3-0 counts, and they're still throwing curveballs. And they're just trying to use his aggression against him. And so he's trying to learn to you know, the mental side of the game. But that's probably been the most impressive thing getting Colt is he's probably the smartest baseball player on the field that I've had. Like little things that he picks up. You know, and I'm sure that's from being around, you know, the game, you know, from an early age. He picks up on a lot of little things.
Colt, tell me about your experience so far at St. John's Country Day. What's it been like?
It's been awesome. I mean, I've played with these guys since I was about 13 years old, so it's been good getting in their culture and seeing how they do things and how they run their program, and it's really good.
Colt, tell me about some of your St. John's teammates. This is a very good team. Coach, I believe you said you guys are 9-2 right now. Tell me about some of your teammates.
Yeah, so we got a bunch of guys who just, like I said, they love to compete. Doesn't really matter what we're doing. We're competing and no matter what. If it's BP, if it's infield reps, if it's just shooting basketballs with the boys, we're going to compete.
Colt, you're signed to Florida, not just committed. You're signed now to the University of Florida, going to play for Coach Kevin O'Sullivan. Tell me about your decision to sign with Florida.
Yeah, I mean, it's the Florida Gators. What more could you want? I mean, it's an all-SEC team who goes out there and puts together great years year after year.
And have you grown up as a Florida fan?
Yeah, always been a Gator. Always wanted that to be my school.
Who did you watch growing up and, you know, maybe from the Gators? Did you have a guy that you watched growing up, either in the field, pitching, anybody like that?
I used to watch Barco a lot. I liked watching him. He's a talented.
Hunter Barco, a local guy, too, from Bowles and now with the Pirates. He got drafted a couple years ago by the Pirates. He's, you know, making his comeback from an injury, but hopefully Hunter Barco can get back there. Tell me about just describe your game for people that maybe haven't watched Colt Myers play before, because I've watched you, and I've actually done some games, Coach. I remember watching him a couple years ago playing third base, and it just – when he fires from third to first, it's different. I'm like, wait a second. Now, that guy's got a tremendous arm. Just tell people about your game.
Yeah, so, I mean, I've just recently moved to shortstop, been playing third my whole life.
Right.
We needed to move to shortstop, got a little faster, shaved the body down a little bit, and then went from there.
Coach, tell me about the move from him from third to short.
Yeah, so, I mean, he's developed the range. He's got the arm that can make up, you know, better. If he's deep in the 5-6 hole, he can make throws that not a lot of people can make. He's very heady, so he seems like he's always moving in the right direction before the ball is hit there, which helps at shortstop as well.
You guys, I saw the other day, Coach, perfect game. Some of these outlets, organizations had you guys in the top 25 in the country. That's pretty good stuff. What is something like – now I know there's a lot of work to do, but what does something like that mean to you, if anything?
Absolutely nothing.
Okay.
Like that, as soon as I hear the rankings, I start to smirk a little bit.
I get that.
Yeah, Nick Saban talks about, you know, some press clippings and like that can be rat poison, you know. And
that's true.
And that's when you're coaching an elite college program. Imagine on high school players and the effect that stuff can have. We're flattered by it, but we show up at the park and the score is 0-0.
That's right.
And all that ranking means is we're going to get that opponent's best arm, best shot every time we show up. We don't focus on it. I don't know if we've talked about the rankings one time as a team. All we talk about is our goals. You know, what's before us is, you know, we want to win a district title. We want to win. We want to be the number one seed in our region. We want to win the regional championship, go to the Final Four, and then we want to get the monkey off our back, and we want to win a state title. And that's it. That's the only thing that matters to this team.
And you've had so many teams that have been so close. How many Final Fours and state championships have you been to?
So we've been two of the last 3 years to the Final Four, and both of those years won the first game and got to the state championship, and then lost in what you would say we were upset. We were the higher-ranked team,
right,
and got upset in the state championship. And we've had another year, the COVID year, where we finished number one overall in all classifications. So, yeah, we've had some really good teams the last, you know, 4 or 5 years. But, again, when we show up, the score is 0-0. That none of those Final Fours, none of those regional championships mean anything.
Well, because you got to do it again, right? You don't start the season, hey, we're in the Final Four. You know, you got to build that way. You got to progress that way, and that takes work to do it. No question about it. Do you think that this 2024 team has the ability, the opportunity to maybe get to a Final Four?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, talent-wise, this team is as talented as any team that we've ever had at St. John's.
So, wow. And that's saying a lot, by the way.
Yeah, so, I mean, that's not going to separate us. It's going to be the how do we adjust from pitch to pitch, how do we adjust from at bat to at bat. Because if we score, if we swing it, we're going to be really tough to beat. I mean, we've got pitching. We're as athletic as any high school team that you're going to see. So if we at the plate, if we can compete, then we're going to give a lot of teams problems.
Colt, I want to go back to you for a second because, you know, baseball is pretty much now your career. You're signed to Florida. I think there's a really good shot you'll have a chance one day to play some pro baseball. What made you fall in love with baseball? Was it growing up around it? Was it watching it from a young age? What made you fall in love with the game?
Just growing up around it, you know, grew up in a big league clubhouse, so, you know, that was really special. Got to see a lot of things that most kids don't get to see. Got to be around people who most people don't get to be around. And just, I wanted to be like everyone I saw, especially growing up. I saw these big league guys, and I want to be like, I can do that, you know, like, what do they have that I don't? But I just always loved the game of baseball and always loved competing. So it's just what I want to do. It's my dream.
I know you may not like to talk about your dad a whole lot, but I want to ask you this, though. Your dad being a World Series champion, a guy that pitched in the big leagues for 10-plus years, I mean, how much of an invaluable resource is he for a guy that did it, knows what it looks like to rely on?
Yeah, you know, he helps me a lot with stuff I have going on, especially like the mental sides of the game and just picking things, picking from his brain, you know, little things like that and like situations, stuff like that. But yeah, he's helped me a lot. He's taught me almost everything I know about the game of baseball. So,
just knowing your dad the way I know him a little bit, he probably wants you to be Colt. Don't try to be like me. Just try to be yourself. Does he kind of coach it to you that way?
Yeah, it's just be my own person. You know,
yep.
He doesn't want me to be what he was. He wants me to be better than what he was. So
that's a good message. Final thought, Coach. You guys, once again, we mentioned your record. St. John's Country Day is 9-2. Your next game comes up on Tuesday at home against Baldwin, a 7 o'clock first pitch. Invite everybody to come on out and tell us about this opponent you got coming up.
Yeah, so a good friend of mine over there, BB, in his first year as head coach, has Baldwin rolling. They're off to a really good start, so we've got them. This is our first week of since the first week of the season, 3 games in 3 days. So we go Baldwin, then we got West Broward that we're hosting on Wednesday, and then we go to University Christian on Thursday. So it's going to be a fun week for us.
And then Fleming Island, Calvary Day, Yulee, looks like Providence is coming up as well, so you got a lot coming up on your schedule. Thanks so much for making some time this morning, and best of luck to the Spartans this year.
Thanks for having us.
All right, Coach Tom Lucas, Colt Myers from St. John's Country Day. Colt is on his way to the University of Florida, and St. John's Country Day, we'll see where they're on their way to, a very good team out here in Clay County. We'll take a timeout. When we come back, we're going to go around the diamond. A special guest coming up, the first base coach of the New York Yankees is Travis Chapman. He's a 1996 Bishop Kenny alum. Coach Chapman will join us. Had a chance to speak with him a couple weeks ago at spring training in Tampa with the Yankees. And then you're going to hear some comments from Jacksonville University head coach Chris Hayes, also UNF head coach Joe Mercadante. We'll go around the diamond in just a moment on River City Hardball, presented by DBAT Jacksonville.
River City Hardball, presented by DBAT Jacksonville on 1010XL.
Welcome back to DBAT Jacksonville in Green Cove. It's River City Hardball presented by DBAT Jacks. Andrew Gibson here with you. We've got just a little bit left to go. We're here until noon today at DBAT Green Cove. Right now, let's go around the diamond. We're going to bring on right now the first base coach of the New York Yankees. His name is Travis Chapman. He's a 1996 Bishop Kenny alum. Had a chance to speak with Coach Chapman a few weeks ago at spring training in Tampa. Andrew Gibson with 1010XL and River City Hardball here in Tampa today. It's a beautiful day for the Yankees spring training as they take on the Atlanta Braves here with the first base coach of the Yankees, Travis Chapman, who's from Jacksonville. An old Bishop Kenny Crusader joins us right now. Coach, how are you today?
Doing great. Thanks for having me out here today.
Coach, you're from Jacksonville. Did you ever in your wildest dreams think that you would ever one day wear the pinstripes and coach for the Yankees?
No, not at all. You know, I was at Kenny. It was all about playing college baseball, and you see the names of Tommy Raffo and Charlie Anderson and those guys come through Kenny and Jacksonville in general and get the opportunity to go play pro ball, and it's pretty cool, and to be sitting here today is really neat.
Coach Chapman, what is it like to every day put on those pinstripes? Because we're talking about Babe Ruth, Mickey Mantle, Derek Jeter, Mariano Rivera, some of the greats of all time. You're wearing those pinstripes. What does that feel like?
It's an amazing feeling. There's nothing like being a New York Yankee, and you know, you walk through the halls and you see all those retired numbers. You know, we're out here spring training with Willie Randolph and you're the captain, and you know, it's quite the honor.
Coach Chapman, tell me about your time in Jacksonville. You're from Jacksonville originally. You played at Bishop Kenny. What was your maybe your favorite memory with Coach West at Bishop Kenny?
I'll tell you, it was actually a loss in the state championship, and yeah, we went down there, we won the semifinal game against a very good Tampa Jesuit team, and then we lost to Key West. Both teams ranked nationally, and you know, but it was really the culmination of 4 years of a lot of blood, sweat, and tears, and playing for one of the best coaches in the area, and you know, it was a good time.
Tell me about playing for Coach West. What did he teach you, and what are your, maybe some of your memories of playing for him?
Do things the right way or else he was going to let you know about it. Always outwork everybody else. I felt like our whole team was in better shape than anybody else. And we always felt like we were outworked and out-prepared pretty much every other team. And we were fortunate enough to win a lot of ball games. And you know, Coach West was a big reason behind that.
You went on to Mississippi State and then went up and had a cup of coffee, they would say, in the major leagues with the Phillies. Tell me about the at-bat that you had in the major leagues. What do you remember from that?
You know, it was up in Atlanta, and I guess just the nerves of fulfilling a childhood dream of making it to the big leagues and getting that opportunity to play. As it turns out, it was just the only, one and only. A couple of injuries after that, and my career became as a coach. And but it was a fun playing career, and now I get to kind of try to help these guys live the same dream.
Final few moments here with Travis Chapman, the first base coach of the New York Yankees from Jacksonville, played at Bishop Kenny High School. The Crusaders have so many rivals, Bowles, so many different rivals. Who was your biggest rival when you played high school baseball at Kenny?
Bowles, hands down. You better believe it. They're always a good scrappy team. They're coached well. Boswell is out there, and
yep.
Yeah, they did. They played the game well, and you know, we always look forward to playing them each year.
Do you stay in touch with some of your Kenny teammates still to this day? Are there some guys that you still stay in touch with?
9 of us seniors, and I think 7 of us are in touch very regularly. So I have a lot of friends, lifelong friends from Bishop Kenny. And even growing up, I've gotten ticket requests from guys that played at Sanssouci and SYA with,
oh, yeah.
And even Landon Middle School, and even a T-baller guy I played with not too long ago. So,
do you ever get back to Jacksonville much?
Still live there in the off season, so I get back every off season, and every chance I get when we get an off day and I get a chance to fly home, I'll fly home, see the family. But Jacksonville's home, so.
Let's talk about the Yankees real quick as we wrap up. You're now in your third year as the first base coach of the Yankees. Tell me about your experience as the first base coach and what's it like coaching this team.
It's humbling. You know, you go out there with Aaron Judge and Juan Soto and DJ LeMahieu and Anthony Rizzo, and it's you know, a lot of great players, but my job here is to help those guys get better. First base coach, yeah, I do that, but I'm also in charge of all the infield and base running. And so my job is to help these great players just get a little bit better every day.
You were just working with LeMahieu and Anthony Rizzo a few moments ago. What specifically were you trying to work on with those guys right there?
We're working through some team stuff there. Not to get into too much detail, but
right.
You know, it's some team stuff, some areas we want to get better as a team this year. and you know, they're veterans, and trying to have those conversations to see how we can do that best.
I think in the years that you've been the first base coach and really the coordinator of base running, the base running's really improved with the Yankees. What have you tried to implement in that area?
We just talk a lot about the little details, you know, that we learned when we were really young about, you know, ground ball reads at second base and line drives and stuff like that. We also talk about timing of secondaries and making sure those are adequate. And, you know, basically the small things that help win ball games. Anytime we can gain an extra, you know, couple inches or foot or 2 feet, we want to try to do that.
You mentioned Aaron Judge and Juan Soto. What do those two guys bring to the ballpark every day? Those are tremendous talents.
Yeah, they really are. And it's, you know, I've had the pleasure of throwing BP to those guys, and, you know, it's amazing. But having said that, it's detailed. You know, throwing a Judge, it's not just fastballs. Like, he wants breaking balls and sweepers and changeups and cutters and everything else in between. So he works really hard, and getting to know Juan now and see what his routine is.
When a guy comes down to first base, let's say Soto walks on four pitches, he comes down to first base. Are you guys talking strategy? Are you talking about, hey, what are we going tonight for dinner? What are you guys talking about at first base?
It's always strategy. Our job, when you put on these pinstripes, it's an honor. And the job's to win more ball games and win world championships. And we haven't done that in a while. And it's always about any little thing to help us get better in that moment. It's definitely not about dinner.
Describe the feeling of when you put those pinstripes on and you're coaching at Yankee Stadium. What's that like?
It's just neat. Like I said, it's humbling. You walk through the hallways, and there's pictures of all the retired Yankees, and there's the numbers everywhere in Monument Park, and yeah. And then you look at your roster, and a lot of good players, but you know, we got to find a way to do it better so we can win some world championships like those previous teams.
Travis Chapman from the New York Yankees and from Jacksonville, and Bishop Kenny, thanks so much for a couple minutes today.
You got it. Appreciate having me.
Our thanks to Jacksonville native and 1996 Bishop Kenny alum Travis Chapman, the first base coach of the New York Yankees. Our next stop on Around the Diamond here on River City Hardball is Jacksonville University. The Dolphins pulled off a big-time victory this week in Gainesville against number 6 Florida. JU pounded out 13 hits in their 7-6 victory on Tuesday night over the nationally ranked Gators. Dolphins head coach Chris Hayes with his reaction to the victory.
Good night for baseball overall. I mean, it's a beautiful ballpark. You know, Florida's as talented as anybody in the country. You know, it's nice for our guys to get a chance to showcase who they are on a national stage and play well in front of a big crowd. Great facility, big-time team. You know, and it was just nice to see us persevere through some adversity throughout the game and come out on the good side.
Coach Hayes on what a win like that does for the JU baseball team.
It gives them the confidence to know that we can compete with anybody in the country if we just get out of our own way. If we can just play clean baseball, apply pressure the way we know we can apply pressure, and execute the game, we're extremely talented and very competitive with anybody. It's a message to our team that they can compete at the national level, and the expectation of winning every time you step on the field is a reality.
A quartet of Jacksonville natives finished off the Gators on the mound. The combination of Clay High School alum Dylan Faulkner, Fleming Island alum Divine Valle, Nice alum Jack Carver, and Fleming Island alum Isaac Williams finished off the game for the Dolphins.
I didn't realize that at the time when I'm running these guys out there, but in hindsight, that's pretty cool to see these Jacksonville guys go out there and compete on a national stage at the highest level. And, you know, and we're going to continue to fight for those guys in the North Florida area and give them opportunities if they want to be a part of our program. And I'm fired up that these guys do want to be a part of what we're doing, and they've really taken it, embraced it, and run with it.
Dylan Faulkner out of Clay got the win against the Gators. Isaac Williams out of Fleming Island recorded the save. Our thanks to JU head coach Chris Hayes for his time after a major victory for the Dolphins program, 7-6 on Tuesday night against number 6 Florida. Our final stop today on Around the Diamond on River City Hardball is at the University of North Florida, where new head coach Joe Mercadante has the Ospreys in double-digit wins already through 20 games in the 2024 season.
Yeah, I think obviously we're happy with the start in terms of wins and losses. You know, I think the guys are starting to kind of come together, understand the expectations. And I think, you know, the fall is obviously a valuable time for us because you get to kind of know each other and implement systems, go through, you know, the way you want to do things with philosophies and everything. But once you get into the season and you see how you try to navigate as a coaching staff, you got to stay consistent with what we talk about every day, with the expectations of coming to the ballpark. And, you know, you may not feel 100%, you may not be, you know, seeing the ball like a beach ball, but you got to learn how to compete every single day, show up every day, give us what you got every day. And in that regard, that's how we kind of evaluate ourselves. The wins and losses are always going to be pretty representative of that, but I think the effort, the way we come to the ballpark, the way we play, I've been pretty pleased with that. But it's a long season. You know, we're just one week into the conference season right now, so we certainly have to sustain it and keep kind of improving on the little things.
River City Hardball would like to thank State Farm agent Russ Voris for his continued support of our coverage of UNF baseball. Russ Voris has been a State Farm agent in Orange Park since 2001 and now has offices in Jacksonville Beach and the Marsh Landing area. State Farm agent Russ Voris, a proud supporter of UNF baseball and high school baseball in the Jacksonville area. Ponte Vedra alum Tony Rocha has been dominant on the mound this season for the Ospreys. Through five starts and more than 20 innings pitched, Rocha has an ERA of 0.40. Rocha set a new career high with 10 strikeouts last weekend in Charlotte against Queens. Tony Rocha really spinning it well for Coach Mercadante and the Ospreys.
He really is. And you know, with Tony, I've known Tony for a long time and coached against him and had to face him a couple years back at my time at Stetson. But the changes and the adjustments, improvements that he and Coach Petrowski, you know, and Coach Linder have made with his delivery and kind of simplifying things for him, it's been really awesome to see that result and the production he's given us. But he's gotten us off to great starts every time he's gone out there. And you certainly feel really confident when Rocha's on the bump on a Sunday.
Thanks to UNF head coach Joe Mercadante for his time this week on Around the Diamond. And thank you to State Farm agent Russ Voris for his support of UNF baseball and high school baseball in the Jacksonville area. That's all for today's edition of Around the Diamond on River City Hardball, presented by DBAT Jacksonville.
I want to thank our guests that joined us on Around the Diamond this week. First off, pretty neat to have the first base coach of the New York Yankees, Travis Chapman, for about 10 minutes there at spring training a couple weeks ago down in Tampa. You know, I'm a Braves guy. I had to go see the Braves play the Yankees, and I thought, you know what? Travis Chapman's the first base coach of the Yankees. He's a BK, Bishop Kenny guy. Let's see if I can go catch him, Zach. And able to do that, so that was really cool. Also, thanks to Coach Chris Hayes, a huge win for the JU Dolphins on Tuesday, 7-6 against the Florida Gators, who at the time were ranked as high as number 6 in the country. So congratulations to JU on a big victory. And then Joe Mercadante, he's got the Ospreys on a really good start. They started out with 13 wins in their first 20 games, so congratulations to Coach Mercadante and the start that those guys have had. Andrew Gibson joined alongside the owner-operator of DBAT Jacksonville and DBAT Green Cove, Zach Phillips, joins us for about a couple more minutes here in our show here on River City Hardball. Zach, this has been a whirlwind morning so far. This has been a whole lot of fun out here at Green Cove.
Yeah, no, and again, I appreciate you guys coming out. You know, again, we're just excited to be here. Green Cove's been a long time in the making. Actually, Clay, been a long time in the making.
Yeah.
You know, we bought the territory around summer of 2020, and you know, finally able to get here. We just had some speed bumps, but we knew that this was you know, part of the city that we wanted to get out to. And like I said, ever since we opened 2 weeks ago, it's been great.
Well, we're here on a Sunday morning, and we've got a lot of these cages beginning to fill up. What's been the response in this Green Cove, Clay County community to you guys being here?
Finally.
Finally.
Because, again, we bought it in 20. You know, we announced that we were going to open a little early, but we probably in, like, 21 announced that we were going to open in 23. We were pretty close to holding up to that, but, you know, ultimately it ended up being, you know, the first couple months of 24. But, you know, it's a long process. I mean, you got to find the right building. You know, how much work do you got to do to that building? But yeah, you know, we landed here. We're happy to be here in the Green Cove community, but more so to get this clay, you know, the South St. John's just over the bridge, group out here. You know, we're looking to still get some of the high school guys, you know, over here, but we got a lot of events coming up with some of the local parks, just free events just for the kids to come in and you know, check it out, the parents to check it out. You know, you'd be surprised with D-Bat Jacks being in the Jacksonville area since fall of 19, still a lot of people that have never been to a D-Bat or right. know what it is. So we like to do those events just to get them out here and, you know, show that we're here to help in any way we can.
So for people that don't know what D-Bat is, let's tell people that maybe just be tuning in for the first time on Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, we're all over the place this morning. Tell people about D-Bat, what is D-Bat, and where can they find the Green Cove location?
Yeah, so just, you know, check us out on Facebook, D-Bat Green Cove, obviously. You can go to our website, greencove.com. But, yeah, I mean, we do a little bit of everything. Our niche is training. You know, we've got top-level instructors here. Like I said, You got
top-notch people.
Yeah, man, I've got some pro ball guys on staff. Again, talking about Jamie. Who's been with Jacksonville, you know, pretty much since we opened, National Instructor of the Year. You know, we got another guy here named Tyler. He came all the way from Colorado. He's been killing it since he's been here. I mentioned the twins, Brooke and Brittany Michael. We also got a guy doing a little part-time stuff for us. His name's Phil Bruder. His daughter was Kelsey Bruder, arguably one of the best Florida Gators of all time. And okay. his son was an All-American at Michigan. So, you know, he's doing really well for us as well.
We got the little kids coming through right now. This is awesome to see here. We've got, I'm telling you, man, people are just filing in right now on a Sunday morning at D-Bat Green Cove. This is really neat to see all the kids coming out. And how rewarding is it for you, Zach, to see the younger generation just being in here, getting their work in? Because that's awesome for me to be able to see all these little kids come in and just start loving the game.
Yeah, you know, I mean, that's a big thing that the D-Bat all the way around is about. You know, I think about if I had something like this when I was a kid, I would have lived
Absolutely.
There.
Absolutely. I used to, like, when I was a kid, I would, like, try to makeshift you know, places where I could throw a bullpen or something
Absolutely.
Like that when I was a kid.
Hitting a tennis ball up against your house. Yeah,
exactly.
Or like
I probably busted a few windows back in when I was a kid. But you got all this stuff here, which is really cool.
And that's, like I said, I mean, I've been with D-Bat since 11. Love the concept. You know, we're all over the country now. And, you know, we came from Atlanta. I'm from Florida originally. So all this stuff we've been talking about, Florida baseball, you know, I'm very familiar with it and the competitiveness that's in this state. But, you know, Jacksonville to us just seemed like a spot that really needed something like a D-Bat. So we were, you know, we were honored to bring the first one here back in 2019. And that's where we do start. You know, we do like to start with the younger kids and just give another route for kids to get their practice in, baseball, softball-wise. But like I said, we cater to the middle school, high school. We got a lot of pro guys that will come in the off-season and get their work done here in the mornings. But, you know, we're always trying to grow. We're doing a lot of stuff data-wise now just to quantify those lessons, be able to show parents, you know, this is why we want to put the work in, because we have these, you know, we're getting this data back to show, you know, where the work needs to be put in.
Good stuff, Zach. That's going to be all the time we have for this morning. Want to thank all of our guests who joined us this morning. We had Clay head coach Josh Persinger, Clay shortstop and pitcher Easton McMahon, who's on his way to Jacksonville University, a 2025 kid. We also had Tom Lucas, the St. John's Country Day head coach. Also, Colt Myers, a signee in 2024 here to the Florida Gators. We had a lot of fun this morning. Also, the Yankees first base coach Travis Chapman, thanks to Jacksonville University head coach Chris Hayes, and UNF head coach Joe Mercadante. A fast, furious, busy show this morning at the brand new D-Bat Green Cove. Zach Phillips, thanks so much for having us out today, man. We'll do it again next month.
Absolutely, man. I appreciate it.
For Zach Phillips, for Casey Dobson back in the studio, I'm Andrew Gibson. Come out and check out the brand new D-Bat Green Cove. Tell us the address one more time.
1417 South Orange Avenue.
Come check him out at D-Bat Green Cove. That's all we have today. I'm Andrew Gibson saying so long. This is River City Hardball, and we are presented by D-Bat Jacksonville.